Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Here we are again, guys. Week 159 of the lockdown. I'm just messing. Just sometimes it can feel that it just drags on and on and on. But here we are. And I just want to let you know before we get into the service that this next part of this season is probably the most important part. This is the part when everything that you've learned, you put into practice. Everything that has been given to you, everything that you've realized, every revelation from God that you've had. This is when the rubber meets the road. It's this part onwards now that is going to really determine the type of person you're going to come out the other side like. And I really, really believe that we're going to come out the other side gold. We're going to come out as a powerful people, changed and transformed. How many of you believe that? Turn around and tell someone in your house or someone who's next to you that you believe that you're coming through this and you're coming out as the better version of you than when you went in. So right now, I want you to help me to pray, because I really believe that God is doing something in people's houses. Whenever we pray, every Zoom, every service, everything that we do online, the Spirit of God, who is not limited by our space-time reality, can come and be with you just the same as He is, and I'm sensing Him with me right now. So please close your eyes and pray right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne and your courts in heaven. My God, as this church has been spread out from its one location into many locations, and Lord, there are churches and temples all over the place right now. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would release yourself and your power and your anointing right where people are at right now. Lord, I pray, open eyes, open hearts, touch every soul, quicken every spirit. Switch us on, my God, because now is the time. Now is the day for your people to grab a hold of you like never before, to press in beyond where they're at, so that we can be ready for everything that's going to come. Holy Spirit, I thank you. And Lord Jesus, I pray you're raising up a people that will give you a reward for your sacrifice. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're back in the pandemic series, and I want to speak a message today that I think is very important for where we're at, and it's about the church. It's about the church, and specifically, is church relevant in these days that we're in? But before we do that, turn to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read a couple of verses from verse 37 to verse 39. And this is Jesus speaking. His disciples have asked him about the end of the age, the end times. And many people believe that that's where we're at right now. You heard it in previous weeks about how the clock is ticking down, about the birth pains, the contractions are getting closer and closer. And we're seeing it in the world around us. But Jesus answered some of these questions 2,000 years ago. And he said this. He said, when the Son of Man returns, verse 37, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time that Noah entered his boat. Now watch this. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way that it will be when the Son of Man comes back. This is church pandemic style that we're in. It's a bit different because of the need to minimize physical contact. We understand all of that. And when it first happened, people, pastors, friends, people were saying, what are we going to do as a church? We can't meet. We're all about gathering. We're all about meeting. But how many of you know we serve a God that is flexible? He helps us to be flexible. I have a beautiful saying. I love it. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And so we adapted. And we're reaching you right where you're at. We're coming into your homes using technology. How many of you love a little bit of technology? I love technology. I use an iPad. I use an iPhone. You know, some of you are Android users. Some of you just got an eye patch. I don't know. But, you know, some of you haven't got smartphones. You're still using stupid phones. But the fact is that we have technology. And technology is okay. It's neutral. It's just humans that cause it to go one way or the other. But here we are. We're using technology to come to right where you're at, to continue to do God's will. And God's will is this: to help people to connect or reconnect with Him. And so we're doing it. So we're using all this technology, and never ever let anyone try and tell you that Christianity and science are enemies, because quite obviously they're not. I know many, many Christian scientists, and they love God, and they use science to try and work out and find out what His creation can tell them. Because after all, God is the greatest scientist in the universe. But I have a really important question for you right now. In these days that have changed the world that we live in, is the church relevant? Now, I want to look at these two ideas right now, the church and relevance. And I want to break them down a little bit for us to have a look. Is that okay? So first of all, the church. I've been a Christian for 25 years, and I've been in church for 24 and a half years of that time. I've been with one church, Victory Outreach. I've been in one ministry. But I still have the privilege and the opportunity to travel the world. I've spoken in different churches and different on different continents and different auditoriums and different conferences. And I've been in different ministries and different types of church. But I've been with one, Victory Outreach. But I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding about church by people before this mad season erupted. Let me break down what church is to me in a nutshell. Church is about three things. Three things. It's about people. It's about places. And it's about purpose. Church is centered on one person, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. We are surrounded not just on an idea, not just on a law or a teaching. We are surrounding a person. We are centered on a person, and His name is Jesus Christ, the most unique person that ever lived, the only person that has ever died and risen from death, never to die again. Just that one person, Jesus Christ. And then everyone who believes in Him and trusts in Him and follows His teachings are His people. His people come around Him as a person and begin to learn about Him. You do that through His word. You do that in community with other people, and you learn about Him. And then you even start to take after Him. You start to think His thoughts. You start to love with His heart. You start to act in the way that He acted. And many of His people, many people that call Jesus Christ the center of their lives, many of His people make the world a better place. Look at where universities came from. Much of science originated by Christians. Look at people all over the world that follow Jesus. They're everywhere. In every sphere of society, there's Christians in sport. You see the Christians when they score goals and, you know, they look up to the heavens. They're in sport. Many Christians are in the movie business. You even got Christian actors. You've got Christians in business. And let's not forget all of the Christians right now that are out there on the front lines with the NHS, doctors and nurses. We have several in our church here in Manchester, up to 40 people in the care professions and in the medical professions that call Victory Outreach Manchester their home. And let's not forget all of the other essential workers that are out there. You have a lot of scientists who are Christians and even a few politicians that are Christians, and the list just goes on. So a church is a community of different people. They're different colours. They speak with different accents. Some of them even speak like me, with proper English. And they come from different backgrounds, but they somehow belong together. Because at some point, somehow, their lives have been positively affected by that one person, Jesus Christ. And then it's not just an individual thing. It's not just us doing our individual thing. Isolation is okay, but how many of you know it's always better to be insulated than it is to be isolated? Isolation is not what God wants for us. It's just what we're having to do right now. But Christianity in the church is not even just an individual thing. It's a corporate thing. And so a church is a community of people, and they gather in different places. Right now, we're gathering in our homes. You're there right now in your home. And that's always been God's plan, that we should meet in homes. It's not just based on one location, but everywhere you go, we should be taking Jesus Christ to that place. Sometimes people forget that homes are essential. But we also gather in large groups, because that's where the community comes together. And that's always been God's plan as well. Sometimes we meet in buildings. And I don't even know, one day we're going to be back in buildings. We meet in community centers. Churches meet in community centers and schools. And sometimes even in big, beautiful cathedrals. The places. And there's many. But during this lockdown period, we've seen the power of being able to gather virtually online. It's a pandemic church. That's the pandemic church. It's that we're meeting virtually online. We're utilizing technology to come where you're at. And I want to let you know that the church has exploded since the lockdown. We're everywhere now, in every home, in every locality, in every neighborhood. There are little churches, little groups of people that are calling on the name of Jesus and worshiping him. But let's not forget that one day we're going to be able to gather again, actually, in person. Let's not get so comfortable sitting there going to church in your PJs. Come on now. I know some of you are worshiping the Lord right now and you ain't even got changed yet. I want to let you know that sometimes you need to get dressed up to come to church. Because otherwise, you will not. Some of you are going to be surprised when you get back into actual life out of lockdown that some of your clothes don't fit and you didn't realize it at the time because you was living in PJs and tracksuit bottoms too much. Coming to church can, getting dressed for church and coming to church can actually help you in that situation. But one day, we're going to be able to gather again actually in person. And there's something so powerful in that. We're not going to do it until we get the go-ahead from our Prime Minister and from, you know, the experts and stuff. We're going to be very sensitive. Because, I mean, if you know, we're born again, but we weren't born again yesterday. We're not fanatics. We're not idiots. We're not the enemies of all reason. But we're going to be able to do it one day, and we have to pray for that. And at Victory Outreach Manchester, we're planning on what it's going to look like when we get unlocked. And what it's going to look like is that we're going to be doing both. We're going to be doing virtual church and actual church. Can someone praise the Lord? We're going to be doing both. And it's going to work out. And then there's not only a person with people in places, but there's a purpose to church. There's a purpose that church gives to all these people to gather in these places, and that is to worship the God of all creation. with Jesus Christ as our King and our High Priest. And then what happens is God shows us, His creation, how to live in His reality, how to be real and how to live in a real way, and then to share the good news of what He does with other people. You know, in many ways, this is a perfect system. You've got ordinary people who worship and follow an extraordinary person who gather in different places to learn how to help other people find and follow that extraordinary person, Jesus, so that they can finally come to know and fulfill His purpose for their lives. That's church. That's what it means. And I think that it's powerful. It's amazing when you actually get to know it, and it works when you work it properly. And the good news is that church comes in all different shapes and sizes. So whatever shape or size you are in, you can find one where you can fit in. You can fit in somewhere. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure there's a few different shapes and sizes that have changed during pandemic. Hello. I'm wondering in the lockdown what fashion is going to emerge on the other side. You know, we went into lockdown wearing skinny jeans, but I'm thinking that maybe the fashion's going to change when we come out, and people are going to have to start wearing some baggy jeans because the skinny jeans ain't going to work anymore. Can someone help me out? I know it's one thing, some of your fridges need to go into quarantine. But that's church. But what does the word relevant really mean? You know, there's a lot of misunderstandings as well about this word relevant. And I think sometimes in churches, sometimes that word relevant has taken on a connotation that it should never have taken on. You know, it's not just bowing down to everyone's opinion. It's not bowing down to the majority of the crowd. That's not being relevant. It's not saying yes to everyone's choices. It's not saying that. Being relevant is different. What does it mean? The word relevant, when you look at it from a dictionary, it simply means this: directly relating to the subject or the problem that's being discussed or looked at or considered. So you've got a situation or a problem, and being relevant means that you are actually relating to that in a way that is powerful and is freeing. I like to look at it like this. The relevance means making a real difference right now. So in these crazy times, when the world has been locked down, when freedoms have been taken away, you know, there's a lot of freedoms that have gone now, and maybe they'll never come back, and they just went missing. But in this crazy time with fear and uncertainty, when it's all around us, is the church relevant? Does it relate to what's going on? Can it help to deal with the problems that you're facing? Does it meet real needs? This is the question, and it's one that I ask myself all the time. It's one I pray about all the time. Is the church relevant? You know, the UK government doesn't seem to think so. There's been no real help from government for churches during this pandemic. There's help for business, big business. There's help for this, there's help for that. You know, if you want to furlough your workers, it's fine. But there's really charities and churches and voluntary sector. It's been a little bit problematic. And if you ask people, they'll say that churches are not necessary. Churches are not necessary right now. Even though churches provide a huge amount of key services to societies. Food banks and drug treatment, youth work, etc., 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 etc. But what do you think? What do you think? During this pandemic, has the church influenced your life positively in any way? You know, in one recent survey, it says that a quarter of the people that were asked said that during this time they'd tuned into a religious service and had asked for prayer. That's got to be interesting, right? You know, the most Googled subject is prayer. People are asking questions that naturally are very difficult to answer. Now, I know that statistics can be looked at in different ways. Sometimes they're interpreted through different lenses. Snow White could tell you that about the seven dwarfs. There's different types of, you know, dwarf there. You know, one survey says that's, you know, most, you know what I'm talking about. You know, grumpy and happy, and different people look at it like that. And how many of you know, I think that Sneezy, he's been jogged on right now. Everyone's looking at him with suspicion. No one wants Sneezy around at this time. But statistics, we even hear our statistics are not necessarily, you know, something that you can be rock solid about, because we even hear from government experts regarding the amount of deaths from COVID-19 in the UK. And what they're saying is that the death rates in other countries can't be compared statistically because the statistical recording methods are different. Really? So you could ask, how relevant are the statistics then? Relevance. Are they meeting a need? Are we really seeing what's going on? How relevant then is what we're going through and what's been unleashed on our society? It's a powerful, powerful tool. And sometimes it can be misunderstood. But I believe that God is working in this season. I know that it's a dangerous time. But I want to let you know that God is working. But is the church helping? Does God's church relate to any of the problems and any of the questions that are being asked right now? And the thing is this, when all statistics and experts are different in their opinions, who can you really trust to be able to tell you the absolute truth? Does God's church and God relate to any of these questions in any way? You know, there's probably a lot of people you would meet that say the church is not relevant before the pandemic, in the pandemic, even after the pandemic. They'll come out, they'll say the church is not relevant. It's just old fashioned. It's boring. It's just traditions. You can't even prove that God is real. But how many of you know you can't disprove God either? There's no way that you can do that. As one leading scientist said, a Templeton Award-winning scientist, he said the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. So you can't even say that God can't be real. But is it possible that there are antichrist people out there right now who have just accepted what are basically unproven and even actually technically unscientific evolution theories and materialistic belief systems? Because that's what they really are. They're a system of belief where certain characters have become celebrity priests of a different religion, where man is on the throne instead of God. You have to understand that not everything a scientist says is scientific. Just as not everything a priest or a pastor or even a pope says is actually spiritual. Because people are limited. And whenever we limit ourselves to natural ideas, we are limited in all these different ways. We're limited to the answers because we're limited. People are limited, but God is not limited. And when God works in and through his church, some incredible things can happen. There are two ways that churches work, naturally and supernaturally. And sometimes people, they miss one because they're just focused on the other. This is where it really helps to work out whether the church is relevant or not. Naturally, this is where many people think of churches as a natural place. And naturally, churches are places, and as places can be traditionally used for weddings and funerals and baptisms and sometimes even food banks and distribution centres. And that's how many of the government people and many people out there in society see churches. They're just a place. It's just a building. And that's how they're seen. And naturally, they see Christians just like everyone else. I mean, when I go to Asda or when I go to, you know, Sainsbury's or wherever it is that I've got the shortest queue that I can shop, hallelujah. And I'm standing there in line in my socially distant spacing away from the person in front of me. No one's looking around at me and saying, oh, he's a Christian. Because naturally, you're just normal people. And Christians are normal people like anyone else. They make mistakes. They get hurt. They have to deal with life's problems. So naturally, when you look at church, you can say, well, it's not as relevant as anything else. But watch this. Church is not just a natural thing. Church is a supernatural thing. It's over and above the natural. And this is where churches become something more unique. Because watch this, prepare to have your mind blown. Churches are interdimensional communication hubs. Ho-ho! Bet you never thought you'd hear that from a pulpit. Interdimensional communication hubs. And no, I haven't lost the plot. No, I'm not wearing a tin hat. No, I'm not, you know, going off on some mad thing. These places are access points to things that we can't naturally describe, but deep down we know that they're true. And this is what makes church relevant, because it can give us answers from beyond our own limitations. We get answers from beyond our own present reality. I don't know if you've ever come across this, but there's a lot of nonsense around in the world. You know, right now there's all sorts of madness coming out, and you know, there's theories of this and theories of that and this and that, and some of it is probably true. Some of the best conspiracy theories sometimes end up being true. But maybe, you know, there's a lot of nonsense. But God makes sense out of nonsense, because he knows the end from the beginning. He sees from a different perspective. He is above and beyond our reality, and he can point us towards real truth. You know, we can currently measure and experience four dimensions. Four dimensions. We've got three spatial dimensions: length, height, width, and then also added to that, time. Einstein added time, and that's how his calculations all came true for relativity, right? There were the three Euclidean dimensions, and then he added time, and all of a sudden, all of his calculations came to pass. But how many of you know? He went to his death frustrated that there were certain other calculations he couldn't reconcile. And I don't want to get too mathematical and deep on you, but you can look all this up later, but he was frustrated. But then someone else came in, and they did what he had done. They added another dimension, and all of a sudden, boom, all of the calculations came to pass. And right now, astrophysicists and quantum physicists now tell us, through string theory and, you know, quantum science and all the rest of it, that now we apparently live in what they call a hyperspace of more than the four dimensions that we can know. And right now, their current estimation is that there are 10 dimensions. 10 dimensions. Check it out. We live in four, but there's other dimensions. You know what that means? That means that this space reality, this space-time reality that we live in, is not all that there is. There's other dimensions. There's a greater reality beyond the one that we can touch and taste and feel and sense. But how many of you know the Bible has said that from the beginning? And in these other dimensions, that's where God is. That's what we call eternity. That's where angels are. That's where all of these things happen that can come and influence our reality. And I don't want to freak you out, but this is stuff that you need to get to grips with and understand. This is where the church can help us, because it's connected to those dimensions. Because the one that lives and exists beyond our own reality is the one that we follow, and the one that gives us the messages through his word and by his spirit that we live by. It's the church in the church that gives us the way and the means to work all this out in our lives. And you've got to understand this. Never forget that church was God's idea. It weren't man's idea, it was God's idea. Jesus once asked his disciples who they thought he was. Just a man or something else. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 19, the conversation goes like this. He says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Just a man, just like us. But then he said, but who do you say I am? Who do you think Jesus is? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Check it out. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. That's powerful. And then he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. There was an answer that Peter came to realize that he couldn't get from any human being. It could only come from God. And it's on that rock, that revelation, that understanding, that foundation, that there's a relevance that goes beyond anything that we can see in our own dimension that the church is built on. It's supernatural, man. And it will stay solid no matter what is thrown at it. If they lock down our buildings, then we go out and we have buildings everywhere. If they say Christians can't meet together in large groups, then we spread out and we meet in small groups. And the church of Jesus continues. Powerful stuff. And it's in this God-given community that you can find answers to questions that are really relevant right now, but maybe can't get answered anywhere else. You know when you were born, but why? Why? You ever thought that? You know the date, but why were you born? You know you're alive, hopefully, but what for? Why are you alive? What are you alive for? What does life mean? What is your purpose? Maybe you want to change. But how? Is it even attainable? Is real change, real transformation, even attainable? See, all of these questions, sometimes when we're faced with uncertain times and darkness and fear, and we start to ask these questions. Why were you born? What's the purpose? Can I change? You don't think I've asked those questions? And I've had answers. I have changed. I have transformed. I was told that I was always going to be a junkie. I didn't start off being a junkie, but I slipped into it. And there I was, a heroin addict. Once a junkie, always a junkie. You can't change. There's no help for you. Until I received a message from another dimension that told me that Jesus knows my end, and my end can be free because Jesus paid the price for me. And here I am 25 years later. I don't take no drugs. I don't want no drugs. I don't need no drugs. I ain't messed up in that same way anymore because my life changed. And it was Jesus that did it. It was God that enabled it. And it was through the church that I began to work it out. Is it going to be okay, you ask? And I want to let you know that don't matter what comes, in Christ, you put your hopes and your dreams and your trust in that person, Jesus Christ, the person that transcends all of our reality. He's not limited by our reality. You put your whole life in his hands and you know that you're going to be safe for eternity. Some of you say that you think you have a grip on what's going on right now. But what does the ending look like? What comes after? These are some questions, man, that can only be answered by God. Because he sees everything in a way that we can't. And he does answer. And he can answer these questions. And he will answer them for you as well. You know, he's answered many of the questions for me that no expert could ever get to grips with. And who else can you really trust these days to tell you What's really going on? You know, we started with a scripture and we're going to end with this scripture. And there's a reason why it's important right now. I'm sure you've heard the story of Noah's Ark, right? You know, you've heard it with your kids, you've sung the songs, you've done all that stuff. But when Jesus was asked about the things that were going to happen at the end of the age, he made mention of Noah. And he said, when the Son of Man returns, it was like Noah's day. It was like Noah's day. And there's so much in that. People were just getting on with life. And they didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. You know, in this pandemic, maybe you're engaging with church and asking some real questions. And my question comes back to you again. Have you found the church to be a relevant place that directly relates to all of the subjects and the problems that you've been questioning and asking? Or is church still, to you, just a building? Is it just natural? See, that's what the people in Noah's time thought and did when they looked at Noah building this ark. They didn't see it as relevant. They didn't think it met any of their needs at that time. But then it started to rain. Suddenly, the ground that had felt so solid to them started to break up and wasn't solid anymore. And as the water began to rise, the only safe place was in the place that God had told Noah to build, in the ark. And that's just like the church today. Right now, the door is still open, and all who want can still come inside and find a place of safety to ask their questions and find their answers. And like Noah's Ark, there's going to be some challenges inside. Because after all, Noah's Ark was filled with animals. And I want to let you know that the church ain't filled with perfect people. And there will still be some uncertain times ahead. But inside the ark, inside God's will, protected by the Creator, there was ultimate safety. And when you become part of God's church, you have that covering, that community right there as well. And on the other side of the journey, there was a new beginning. And that's the same thing that we see in the church that Jesus loves. You know, this pandemic, church, is going to be a big part of the future. And the future is becoming a reality all the time, quicker and quicker than we ever thought was possible. So why not get in the boat? I want to pray for you right now. You've got questions. There's been stuff that's been spoken about, maybe that you've never heard of before, you've never looked at in the same way. Maybe you're just coming online and you're just looking because someone's invited you and you don't really know what to do, but you sense, you feel that there's something that's happening. Maybe you've been coming on for a while now. We know that people have been coming on for a while now and they're starting to say they feel different. Things are taking shape. Things are making sense. Well, you know what? It's very simple to become a Christian. It's very simple to become a part of what Christ died for, the church. It's not easy, but he did the work. All you need to do is give him your wrongs and let him give you his rights. You know what they are? He gives you the right to be forgiven. Everything you've done, he can wipe it away. You get the right to be connected to the Creator of all life. I don't know about you, but if the Creator created all things, he has the power to maintain all things. And when you plug into him, man, you get a new experience of life. That's what the Bible says and calls being born again. You get plugged in and you get this new energy, this new understanding. I remember when I gave my heart and life to Jesus on a Wednesday night in July in 1995. I was in a car. I wasn't in a building, church building. I was in a car. But Jesus was right there. And I remember a weight lifting off me. And I remember that there was an assurance and a peace in my heart that I could change. And here I am 25 years on. And he's never, ever let me down. You can pray right now and you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, your very best friend. And then you can become insulated instead of being isolated. Would you pray with me right now? And don't forget, you're praying to a person and his name is Jesus Christ. Just pray something like this. Say, God, come on, say it out loud. No one else is around. You're in your house, right? Say, God, I believe that Jesus is the Savior. Would you forgive me for all the things I've done that have taken me far from you? Would you change me and show me what it means to truly live? Would you love me and take away all my fear? Would you come and live inside of me and make me new? Fill me with your power and your presence so that I can become one of your people, so that I can know my purpose. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior, for being my Lord, and for being my very best friend. You know, if you prayed, then you can respond online. There's somewhere you can go. You know, we've got people there that want to pray with you. They want to help you. Help you navigate the next steps, man, because it's not as awkward as you think. It's not as strange or difficult as you think. It's actually supernaturally natural. So you can do that. And for those of you that are there and you're part of the church, and maybe you've struggled, maybe you've never realized the power of belonging to this family, this community that is supernaturally connected, that has so much power to influence and affect positively the communities that we live in, the world around us. And that has a part to play, not just now, but in the future. I want to pray for you right now. Lift up your hands where you're at. And I am praying right now, my God, that your power would be released into the lives of your people. Holy Spirit, would you fill every house just like heaven is filled? May your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Answer questions that people have had. Solve problems that people have struggled with. Fill needs and meet needs that people haven't been able to meet themselves. My God, would you release the anointing that breaks every yoke and raise your people up to know that your church, even though it's spread out right now, is joined together naturally and supernaturally and will not be overtaken, overcome, or conquered by any enemy, because your church is eternal and we are your church. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise. Come on, just begin to praise him right now. Begin to praise him, begin to worship him, begin to give him glory right now. Come on, all over the place. We're going to close this service with a song of worship, and right now in your homes, just praise God, just worship him. Be free. We belong to a victorious church. Hallelujah. So God bless you right now.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.